This morning we have a number of prayer quilts, and so I invite you to join me in this time of prayer. Lord, you have come in Jesus Christ. We move through the Christmas season singing your praises, and we hope that we won't stop, that by his life and death and resurrection, you give us life, you offer us purpose, and you connect us to you in a powerful way. And so thank you, Lord, for Jesus and the relationship that you offer through him. Thank you, Lord, also for the relationships that we've been blessed with, for family members who give us great joy, who bring us to wisdom, who call us to our best selves. And so we give you thanks for spouse and children, for parents, aunts and uncles, grandparents, cousins, those who are not related by blood but are just as much siblings as those who were birthed along with us. We ask, Lord, that in all of these relationships that we might rise to honor those we love, that our words might be kind and encouraging, and that we might, in our prayer life, put them before you. And Lord, we pray also for relationships that we have built in our communities of faith. From our youngest days, if we were connected with churches and the kindness of those who raised us in the church. And for our relationships today in small groups and in classes and in worship and in community time, and in acts of service and mission, that you might bless those connections as well and allow us to see Christ in one another. And Lord, on this Sunday, we pray for our nation and for the world. We pray your blessings on President Trump and Vice President Pence and those who are coming into service in the United States, that you might grant them your wisdom, that you might be the guide by the grace of Jesus Christ in this transition. And Lord, we ask your blessings on all in this nation, those who celebrate in hope, those who live in anxiety, that you might be the one that people look to. Not that problems won't be worked out and solved by humanity, but that you, Lord, will be the guide and the strength and the power. And Lord, our prayers now stretch out beyond those we can name, those we know, and even beyond the language we speak and the culture we understand to envelop the world. That, Lord, in places of trouble and unrest, where there is fear of terrorism and ruthless dictatorship rule in nations, that you might bring your power and your presence. Lord, for those who are faithful to you, give them courage and strength and allow them to be leaders in the most dire of circumstances. And Lord, we pray that you will offer to us strength to do what will carry your desires forward, that your will might be done as we pray. We pray to you for courage to speak up when we need to speak and for temperance to remain silent when it is best to be silent. Lord, in all cases, let your word move forward. Let your peace and justice flow. Lord, Lord, today we lean on you. And now we take a moment to offer to you our prayers. We come in gratitude, grateful that you hear, grateful that you bless, grateful for your steadfast love. And now, Lord, hear us as we join in the prayer that your Son, Jesus Christ, has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
The scripture lesson this morning is from the book of Philippians 2, verses 1 through 7. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in the Spirit, and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but to each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Sue. Well, normally this time of year, I'd be talking about snow and cold. So I had to rewrite the opening because that's not the case this year. But I will tell you, I have complete confidence that the month of February, which in my view is the longest month of the year, that's going to remind us exactly what winter's like here in Michigan. Some of you can probably connect with this. I wasn't made for winter! I mean, that's how we feel. We feel like Sally Brown does. Now, personally, I am okay with winter. I don't mind the snow. Cold sometimes. The ice is wonderful because you can skate. But the best part is that it really makes spring and summer seem amazing. But this year, it's this whole roller coaster of temperature and precipitation. It's been driving me crazy. And then you pile on all of these wonderful illnesses we've been having, the colds and the flus. All I wanted to do this year is either be winter or don't be winter. Quit this back and forth stuff. Seasonal affective disorder. Now, I want to point it out, it's affective with an A, not effective, because if it was seasonal affective disorder, it would be SED, and that just doesn't work as well as SAD does. So seasonal affective disorder, Mayo Clinic tells us that this is it's a depression that relates to the change in the seasons. And it begins and ends about the same time each year. And if you're somebody who suffers from SAD, your symptoms start in the fall and they really peak during that longest month of February, and then they ebb, hopefully, when spring gets here. But it saps your energy. And it really does make us a bit moody. Some people aren't affected by it much. Others, well, I'm just going to list some of the symptoms, and just let me know if you're experiencing any of these. Irritability. Tiredness or low energy. Okay, good, we have hands going up. See, those are the people I'm going to watch to see if they stay awake during the whole message. I've got my eyes on you. Problems getting along with other people. And I think this means not only in the political spectrum. Hypersensitivity to rejection. Heavy, leaden feelings in your arms and legs. Anybody? Anybody oversleeping? All right, I do it on occasion. Appetite changes. And this one, especially if you're craving foods high in carbohydrates, because then it leads to this other symptom, weight gain. So this article tells us this, but it also gives some strategies on how to address seasonal affective disorder or SAD. They recommend natural light therapy. Get some exercise, trip to Jamaica. And I'm going to offer another one, which, stay with me because it'll make sense. I'm going to offer our sermon series that we're doing here in January, focusing on the bleak midwinter. And it gives you some ways to take action. And these can help you overcome seasonal affective disorder. And here's how I'm going to make that connection for you. Take a look at the slide. Now, I know because it's bolded, bleak midwinter really is striking. You can see it, and that's what you focus on. Well, I want to change your focus. Look at the words around it. The joy of connecting with God and others. There's a couple words in there that I want you to say. Joy and connecting. Those are the things I really want to focus on today. Connecting with each other, connecting with Christ. And we were given a model to follow. And it's the first model when you look at relationships. It's the Trinity. God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And if you look at the beginning of the Gospel of John, it tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. You see, there's that connection right off the bat. And so as I dug deeper, I came across an article entitled "The Holy Trinity, the Community of Love at the Heart of Reality." And it was written by a gentleman named Leonard Vanderzee. Now, in this article, he takes us away from the, you know, these drawings we make, the triangle and the imagery. And what he gets into is looking at, it's not a problem to solve. It's a way we're supposed to be living our lives. And I want to read a quote from the article. "At the center of all reality, at the heart of the universe, there exists an eternal divine community of perfect love." And see, the Bible tells us God is love. And what this article points out, though, is the only way that God can be love if his God is in community with other divine persons and with us. You see, love doesn't exist in a single, simple entity. God is that eternal community of love. So first and foremost, we can't be in relationship alone. I mean, if God can't do it, neither can we. Having a relationship with Christ is one step we can take. And wherever you are in that relationship, if you haven't even started down that path, or you've been meeting with Christ every day for years, you benefit from this friendship. And I invite you to come in or continue to be in that friendship. But you also may wonder, well, how can I be in relationship with Christ? I mean, I'm just a human being. And Christ is God. Well, if we look at the last line from the hymn, "The Bleak Midwinter," by Christina Rossetti, that thank you so much, choir, for sharing that this morning. We've been using that hymn during this sermon series. It closes with the following line. "It what I can, I give him, give my heart." We can give Christ our love, our commitment, our life, our heart. You see, it's what we're asked to do. If you look at this cartoon, it's a small person with their heart saying, "It's all I have." And Jesus responding simply, "It's all I want." We are told to love the Lord our God with all our strength, our heart, our soul, and our mind, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. See, we're to find those connections, to be in relationship with God and others. But again, how can we connect with God and others? Now, each of us here are blessed with a variety of gifts, and we get a chance to use those when we're in relationship with God and others. But in order to connect, we really need to understand a little bit better how to use our spiritual gifts. And there's going to be a group meeting on Thursday evenings this semester at 7 p.m., and they're going to be using a book by Eric Ries called Shape. And what this book is it's a guide to understanding spiritual gifts, and also, in fact, more importantly, of how to use those gifts when you're in relationship with Christ and others. Now, the class is going to be led by Julie Swanson, and here she is up on the screen getting ready to take a ride. I'm pretty sure that was yesterday because that's how warm it was. You know, you don't normally get to do a motorcycle ride in January. And Gary Tobel will also be joining on leading that group. There we go. There's Gary. Now, it's real simple. Sherry mentioned it. You can sign up on the back of your connection card. That's what we're talking about this morning, connections. Drop the card in the offering plate in just a few minutes, and you can be part of that group. So the Trinity gives us that first example of being in community. Well, Christ took it one step further, and he did the same thing when he lived here on earth. He took this group of students, his disciples, and he spent time in relationship with them. They learned from him. They grew in love and understanding. And as the disciples matured in their faith, and as Jesus was nearing the end of his ministry, in fact, as he was nearing the end of his life, he changed that relationship of teacher and student. And in John 15, it says, "I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have been made known to you." The disciples were Christ's friend. And we have that same opportunity to be friends with Christ and to connect on a daily basis. There it is again, that word connect, because that's what we're focusing on today. Up on the screen is Reverend Rhonda Hawkins, and she's actually going to be leading a group this semester called Connect. And they'll be using a book by Phil Maynard and Eddie Pipkin called Connect, Creating a Culture of Relationships That Matter. Now, this guide will help in figuring out how to connect with others in the name of Christ, how to build relationships, how to make new friends, how to share our faith journeys. You can use code H1 to register, just like it says up there on the screen. So it's great. We have all these ways to connect here at church. But you're probably sitting there going, you know, okay, so what? Who cares? What's in it for me? Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to go that next step. There's actually health benefits to being connected like the Trinity, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, or like Jesus and his disciples and being friends. Being part of this worship community, things that can make a difference. Now, technology, that's why I put Facebook up there. Because technology has changed this a bit. And I was going to, when I first started thinking about this, I was going to discount technology and say that's not really connecting or being in a relationship. However, when we started looking at the health benefits, a different truth came out. And there was a recent study by William R. Hobbs, and stay with me. In this, it suggests that Facebook use is associated with longer life. Particularly, now this is the key, if the time spent online is moderate and the user's online activities reflect strong social interactions in the offline world. Now that was a new term for me. I had never heard of life and what we're doing right now being the offline world. I just thought that was reality. But that's how much things have changed and how it's turned. But there were a couple key points in that statement they made in their conclusion, and that is moderation. Everything in moderation, we're told. Except prayer. I think you should pray without ceasing, Sherry. I think we should do that. But everything else you can do in moderation. But then the connections in the real world, I think that really is an it's a word of advice they're giving, even if they don't realize it. It's don't let online become your primary or even worse, your only method of connecting or trying to connect. All right, so Facebook can lead to longer life, but wait, there's more. In a recent study by Mark Stibich, PhD, so he's a doctor, he presents data that supports that regularly attending religious services leads to longer life. Now, the study concludes as follows. The observation is real. People who attend religious services regularly tend to live longer. But he struggled with this a little bit because the real thing they were trying to figure out is the why. And in it, he admits, is it simply because people who attend services regularly have more social and other connections and other resources available to them? Or could it be something more? And he asked this question. Or it could be that something about attending religious services, like making connections with others, prayer, or spiritual reflection, helps people to live longer. There it is again, that connection with others. This is all good stuff, right? Be like the Trinity, be like Christ and the disciples. There's health benefits. Still have to know how to connect. Well, there was an article, I love the Mayo Clinic. If you haven't gone to their website, they have amazing information. And on September 28th, 2016, they offered an article that has simple ideas about making connections and making new friends. Here's what it advises, and listen carefully. To meet new people who might become your friends, you have to go places where others are gathered. Groundbreaking. So Facebook might help, but you have to go somewhere and be among other people. But it also goes further than that. It advises strategies, and it talks about broadening your efforts, making sure that you're doing things to increase your likelihood of success of finding friends. And they point out this, persistence also matters. In other words, you have to take the initiative. Keep trying. Don't give up. And one place the article recommends that you can connect is right here in your faith community, right here during worship. And there, in this place of worship and in this church and connected to it, there's a tons of ways to connect, tons. And we have classes and small groups that meet different days, different times during the week. And up here, I have a photo of one of our small groups from last semester. And that in the front, that's George Smith. He's not photobombing. It's just when you take a selfie, you look a little bit closer than everybody else. So he is part of the group. He is connected. But this group, they get together, and it's a sermon-based small group. So they're getting together to discuss the sermon and how it applies to their lives. That's not all they discuss or all they do, because if that was it, that wouldn't go very far or very long. What they do is they become community to each other. They become part of a relationship. They talk about what's going on in their lives, the good, the bad, the highs, the lows, and everywhere in between. They're in Christian friendship together. They spend time listening to each other, helping each other, and growing together during their walk with Christ. And the wonderful thing is, there is an open chair at every one of these groups, and all are welcome. So we have God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit in community. We have Christ and his disciples, his friends. They were in community. And we need to be in community with others and with God. And today's scripture is from Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. Now, if you read the whole letter, you will find this is Paul's most upbeat letter. He's not chastising the church for the things they're doing wrong or telling them how to do right. He is celebrating the joy that is knowing Jesus. And in today's reading, Paul tells us to imitate Christ's humility, to be in Christ. And as believers united with Christ, we find comfort and strength and hope in that. And in Philippians, it was read today, verse 5 says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. Now, I like the choice of the word mindset here. If you notice, it doesn't say think the same way, have only one way of approaching things. It uses the word mindset, Christ's mindset. And when I read that, it tells me the difference is they're not only welcome, they're expected and necessary. Because as followers, we have to show ourselves, no matter where we're coming from, that we are in Christ, and that's where our hope comes from. And when we are in connection with God and others, those differences make us stronger. When we are in relationship with others, each of us is told to be like Christ. And don't use that relationship to your advantage. Rather, as Christ did, we're to make ourselves servants. We're to make ourselves small. Put others above ourselves. And that's the mindset of mission teams. And behind me, I have the Men's Appalachia Service Project team that went this past September. They go to the Appalachia region every fall. They're in community with one another in prayer, in devotion. But more importantly, they're in relationship with the people they meet in Appalachia. And they have that same mindset as Christ, putting others above themselves, being servants. Now, one thing I do want to point out, and I can circle each face if you don't believe me, I'm not in that picture. And I was invited. I came up with an excuse, and I think I had a class or something. But I've not gone on men's ASP, and there's a reason. And I've explained this to people. It's because I'm not mature enough. So I go on youth ASP, because that's more my speed. And when I wanted to go on youth ASP with my kids when they were in high school, they told me I couldn't go with them. And Sue put it very gently to me, my wife, she just said, well, they need a break from you when this gives them that. However, finally, when they were done, I had my chance to go. And it was an amazing connection that I made with the youth, the other leaders. And not just from a standpoint of skills, because when I first went down there, I can't remember who the leader I was with, but the job that we took on and were willing to handle was painting. Because I can paint. I can do a brush, I can do a roller, and that's what we did for a week. As time went on and I went more times with more people, the last time I went, we put a tin roof on a house. Now, that's a change in skill set. I grew in my skills and my talents. But even more importantly, I grew in my relationship and my connection with the youth, with the other leaders. But more importantly, I got to meet different groups of people every time I went down there and I was in relationship with them. And they helped, and we got to help. Now, I saw the young people change the same way. There were young people who went down, and they didn't know which end of the hammer to hold. And when they came back, they had such a strength and such an understanding in themselves and the abilities they were able to have from the physical labor. But that was secondary to the change that was in their hearts and their approach and how they went to other people and just gave themselves. They were servants. They were in relationship with them. And if you have children, grandchildren who are going to be around high school age, or if you're an adult who wants to experience a change in your life, I can highly recommend joining in to ASP, Appalachia Service Project. And there's going to be an informational meeting next Sunday right here at 10:30. So if you can attend and you have it on your heart, please go. And you can see the information in the bulletin. You can find Matt Reister, who's right there. Raise your hand, Matt, because if you don't, people won't know how to find you. Or Laura Kelly. I don't know if she's here. I didn't see her here. Oh, wait, there she is. Laura Kelly. See one of those two. And please get connected to that group. And so that, I've actually given you a little bit of a cheat, if you're interested in that, in looking at this week's action item. Because really the goal this week for myself and all of us should be, make a connection. And if you're an overachiever, make a couple. And they don't have to be new. If you have a connection or a relationship that sort of just stopped or has gone dormant, reconnect with that. Become Christ with them again. But then after you do that, I want you to tell somebody else about it. And if you can't find anybody else, call me. I'll listen. Because see, here at Brighton First, there are ways to connect every day of the week and on Sundays as well. You can be part of the team that sets up the community room and the coffee hour. You know, we get to share before, during, and after services. You can be part of that team. You can connect with a group that uses their musical skills. And that was beautiful, the message they brought us this morning. You can be an usher. You can be a greeter. You can assist with communion. You can be a tech who makes sure that all the slides and everything keep moving the way they're supposed to. You can be involved in mission here in Brighton, Southeast Michigan, down in Appalachia, around the world. And of course, as I've mentioned a couple different times, you can sign up for small groups and classes like the one on the screen, if I hit the button right. There it is. It's a shameless plug, and I admit to it. And I want to point out something in case you didn't notice it. The name of the class is Foundations, and I'm standing next to a foundation. Ooh. Pretty creative for an accountant, huh? But see, you can be part of United Methodist Women. They meet on a regular and recurring basis. Men of Faith, they meet every Saturday morning. Men with Tools, Tuesday mornings. You can go to the movies. You can go hiking. You can get on a bus and attend a Lugnuts game in June. All different ways that we connect here at Brighton First. And you can bring others into connection with Christ and this faith community. You can invite them to all those different things I've talked about this morning. Or you can invite them, don't invite them, bring them to worship. I mean, we are in connection with Christ. Why would we hesitate to share that and want our friends to be part of that? We need to let them know and they get to experience the joy that we have of connecting with God and others. I mean, Christ called the disciples his friends, and he calls us friends. And we should all welcome our friends to be in that same relationship. Thank you, friends. Amen. Please pray with me. Oh God, our friend, we walk with Christ and we feel the power of the Holy Spirit. We are in relationship with you and with others here. Help us to be in relationship with others we haven't met yet and for those who need you. Help us be our guide, be our friend. Amen.